The list includes several words that add to the current political climate. One word is troll. No longer just a giant who roamed in Scandinavian folklore, it's now to antagonize others by deliberately posting inflammatory, irrelevant, or offensive comments. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon. It's Thursday afternoon, September 19th. It's about 3:03 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. The name of the program is Teachable Moments in Business here on the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio Station. So glad you're listening this afternoon. I hope you'll tune in every Tuesday to hear our program because we talk about teachable moments in business. So the question I have for you who are listening, where do business people get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? And where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you just won't find anywhere else? Well, it's right here at Teachable Moments in Business. And when you tune in every Tuesday afternoon, you're going to learn it's something that you can, or a tactic that you can use in your business, whether you're the owner or you work for a business. The more efficient you are in running the business and being effective in your day-to-day work, the more successful the business will be, and the owners will have a business, and the people who work there will have a job. So today we're going to be talking about a number of topics that I'll share with you, but let's take a look at the weather to see how we're doing this afternoon. The weather right now is relatively mild. I just came into the studio this afternoon a few minutes ago, and I would say that the temperature is in the low 70s right now. According to the weather report I'm reading right now, it says it's 78, but it doesn't feel quite that warm. There will be isolated showers with a chance of precipitation at about 20% today. And we've kind of gone to the high of 78, and it's cloudy outside. Tonight, scattered showers once again with a chance of precipitation at about 30%, mostly cloudy with a low of about 64 this evening. Now, on Wednesday, we're looking at the weather being partly sunny with a high near 82 degrees and with a north wind of 11 to 13 miles per hour. And then Wednesday night, it'll be there will be patchy fog after 2 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low of about 62 and a slight wind. So when I come back for the next weather report, we'll talk about the extended weather forecast. So this program is called Teachable Moments in Business. So what exactly is a teachable moment? A teachable moment is an unplanned opportunity that arises in the workplace that serves as an ideal experience that offers insight to those who are in the right place and know it. A teachable moment is not something that you can plan for. Rather, it is a fleeting opportunity that must be sensed and seized. Often it will require a brief digression that temporarily sidetracks your thought process to make mental notes that may serve as personal guidelines or to be shared with others. Ultimately, the teachable moment could evolve into a discussion for self-education or staff training purposes. Teachable moments happen all the time. You just have to really pay attention to them. You can create a teachable moment, too, by asking others to talk about their business experiences. Perhaps they are reading a book or they're willing to share the lessons that they are learning. And did you ever come across a statement or a keyword that sounds interesting? Take a moment to research the concept. Be a good sleuth. You'd be amazed at what you'll learn. So I have taken advantage of what I've heard over the years. I've investigated concepts and ideas. For example, years ago, I heard the word net weaving, and I looked it up online and discovered that there's a gentleman by the name of Bob Littell who had written a book on net weaving, and I ended up teaching net weaving in some of my marketing and networking classes. So you just never know when you're going to hear something that you should sleuth and research, and chances are you'll learn something. After all, we're all lifelong learners today, so we have to be alert. Now, I wanted to share with you. I missed a couple of broadcasts because I was traveling, and I had an opportunity to be a speaker in Shanghai, China, in the latter part of August. And I flew out of Newark on United. It was around a trip that was nonstop for 16 hours on the plane, and I flew from Newark to Beijing. To Shanghai. I wish I'd gone to Beijing first, but I didn't know enough to go there first. So I went to Shanghai and I toured the area for 3 days actually, and then I attended a pet food industry forum where I spoke for about a half hour. And then listened to seven other presenters. And the following day was the first of a four-day trade show, and I've never been to such a big trade event in my life. It was pet food and pet supplies that were on display. And the area where this show was being held was adjacent to the hotel that I was staying in, and there were all separate buildings, probably about 15 buildings surrounding a courtyard. And you had to go from one building go outside and then go to the next building, but the ceilings were very high. I've never seen such big displays at a trade event, and there were wall-to-wall people. In fact, Shanghai itself has something like 25 million people living there, probably more. I've never seen so many high-rise apartment buildings in my life. They are clustered everywhere, and on one of my tours, we traveled south out of Shanghai to go to one of the historic towns. But it was wall-to-wall people, a lot of traffic, and on the way back, I was on a Grey Line tour, and the tour director said, well, we came back, it took us 4 hours to get back, it was on a Sunday afternoon, and she said, well, we're back in town again into Shanghai, and frankly, I didn't think we ever left Shanghai, it was just so very, very crowded. So at that event, I discussed marketing, and I did study the Chinese market and marketing concepts that are used in China, but frankly, they're really comparable to the kind of marketing that we see and that I teach about here in the States. But people did come up to me afterwards and thank me for the information that they learned about. But people have the same needs everywhere, and today social media plays a major role in all of our marketing. And people will go to social media first before they make decisions. And there's an awful lot of buying that's done online now with cell phones. So when I was in China, I saw so many people walking around with cell phones, but many of them are sitting on bicycles. I've never seen so many bicycles in my life. But people were there punching information into their cell phones and their digital devices in order to get information. So that was quite an experience. So then I came home for about a week and a half and then went down to Nashville, where I gave a talk at the American Small Business Development Center's annual conference. It's the ninth year that I was a presenter. There were about 140 presentations, and I did two of them. One was on how to attract and keep good employees, and the other one was about personal branding. And each of those programs seemed to go very well. But I wanted to share with you an observation that and a discussion that I had with one of the members of my audience at the in the talk where I was talking about how to attract and keep good employees. And I mentioned the fact that Richard Branson was quoted to the effect that customers take second position to employees, that employees are the most important aspect or the most important value and investment that a company has. And so one of the members of the audience raised her hand and she said, but customers are most important to a business. Of course, if you don't have a customer, you don't have a business. But I pointed out to her that if your employees are not trained well and they're not trained in customer service and customer experience management, as well as selling skills, they may not be able to cater appropriately to the customers with whom they have to work. So I have a list of what is a customer. And I'm just sharing this list with you. Our customers are the most important persons in our company, in person, by phone, or by mail. But again, that's after the employee, because they have to be trained first before you can deal with a customer. Our customers are not dependent on us. We are dependent upon them. Our customers are not an interruption in our work. They are the purpose of it. We're not doing them a favor by serving them. They are doing us a favor by giving us the opportunity to serve them. But we have to know how to do that. Our customers are not outsiders to our business. They are part of our business. Our customers are not cold statistics. They are flesh and blood human beings with feelings and emotions like our own. And here is again where the employee has to be trained to understand what motivates the customers, what the emotions are behind the decision process. They need to know what the needs are behind the needs, and they need to know how to talk to those customers and how to ask them the right kinds of questions so that they can uncover the concerns that they may have in order to cater to them and to ultimately sell them products and services that are appropriate. Our customers are not people to be argued with or to match wits. Nobody ever won an argument with a customer, and that's, I believe, is true, but again, the employee has to know how to handle that customer. Otherwise, they could leave angry and never come back. And it takes 20 good experiences to overcome a bad one. So it's much more cost-effective to keep a customer and to keep them coming back than to lose a customer and then have to spend time, energy, and imagination and money to get new customers to replace them. Our customers are people who bring us their wants. It is our job to handle their wants properly in respect to them and our company. And finally, our customers, we thank them every time, every day. So those are all true, but again, to handle the customers properly so that they are happy campers and that they come back, the employees have to be trained. If employees are not trained and they're not happy with their work and they don't feel that they're being rewarded for their service to the company, that will be reflected in their attitude toward the customers, and the customers will not have a good experience and may not come back. So those are some points here that I think are certainly worth talking about and to considering. So what we need to do is we need to understand when it comes to employees, what is it that's important to them? How do we treat those employees? Do we train them? Do we give them some autonomy? Do we mentor them? Do we give them opportunities to make decisions? These are all the things that we have to consider. What's the reward system that we need to have in place for an employee? Sometimes it's not money. If an employee is a high school or college student, perhaps the reward would be to have an hour's time to do some homework before the onslaught of business, an influx of business at a particular time of the day or evening. Perhaps if you have somebody who's a baby boomer, the reward would be to have the first parking spot at the entrance to the business to make it easy for them to get in, and that would make them feel good. Perhaps treating the staff to a pizza party, or to taking an employee out for their birthday or some other special event. These are ways that we can treat our employees well, and then they will come back. But money's not always the trigger. But it's very important that the employer understand the employees and find out what's important to them, and then give them rewards accordingly. And so if they're happy and they're trained on how to deal with the customers, the company itself will certainly be far more effective and be more effective in sustaining its business and its profitability. So we're going to go listen to a word from one of our sponsors, and I will be back.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. When I was in Nashville, I heard a speaker talk on the fact that Amazon seems to be taking over the retail marketplace, and I'm sure that you have experienced that if you are in retail or even wholesale in your business. And it's very, very challenging. One of the things she pointed out is that Amazon doesn't have to make money because they are collecting information in order to sell you stuff. And so even if they lose money on a sale, they gain knowledge that enables them to market. And they are a huge, huge marketing company. In fact, she had a picture on her slide presentation of a huge big warehouse where they have all these servers set up. You can, as far as the eye can see, there are machines. And a lot of people are very scared about retail. I work in the pet industry, and the pet industry retailers are no exception when it comes to being concerned about losing business. So we do have to stand up and take notice, and we have to be very progressive in how we function, especially in a retail environment, because we are competing against Amazon. One of the things that I heard in that presentation that really surprised me was that millennials, who have a tremendous amount of buying power, do enjoy retail shopping. They like going into stores. I think it's to touch and feel products and to have the retail experience. Of course, you want them to buy when they're there. And we know that people have their smartphones and they take pictures of items that they see in retail, and then they go and they order them on Amazon. So it's up to us to retailers to have an engaging, exciting retail environment so that those people continue to come back. So there's some other points of view that can help in the retail environment. One thing you can do is to turn your website into a revenue site. One of the things I learned is that there are a lot of retailers and a lot of business owners that favor the use of Facebook rather than putting a lot of energy and time into developing their website. Unfortunately, if you are heavily involved in Facebook and rely on that more so than a website, that could be a problem in the future, because it was explained that you don't own your content on Facebook. Facebook owns it. So if they make a decision that they don't like what you're doing, or they change their policies or procedures, in theory, they could knock you out, and you would lose the information that you have posted on Facebook. The Facebook should be there as a tool for attracting people, for educating them, but also giving them a call to action to come to your website and to knock on your door. So you have to have a website today. You can't get past that. You have to have one. Now, some people can turn their website into a revenue site. And there may be products that you sell that could actually be featured on a website. So if you do that, if you have some sort of an e-business online that supports your retail store or vice versa, that website can allow you to earn money while you're sleeping. So in a way, you can call that passive income, because you're not, once it's posted, once you're featuring items that are available for sale, you could be making money on that website 24/7. But again, local customers do enjoy visiting shops in person, but they also like the fact that they can buy online from your business as well. Now, the companies, I've often thought of, say L.L. Bean up in the state of Maine, they started out with a retail store, then they had their catalog. I believe that's the progression, and then they went to a website. So they have three different ways that people can do business with them. That, to me, is ideal. We can't all do those things, but at least when you have a website, perhaps you can offer some items online. So through your Facebook page, you would suggest to people that they go to the website and they can learn more about what you have to offer. If you're not selling something on the website, perhaps you can have downloadable articles that would be educational and give ways to the reader to do business with your company. So look for ways that you can utilize that website for passive income, for selling stuff that, you know, that would be a support to your business. So look for e-commerce solutions. You can get help along those lines at the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. We have a counselor by the name of Roland, and he would be able to give you suggestions on how to set up an e-commerce site or platform on your website. There is a website entitled lightspeedhq.com. It's called lightspeedhq.com, and it's an e-commerce site that helps buyers. Helps you to set up a business opportunities for your buyers. Also, you want to ramp up your social media strategy. So having a Facebook page is essential for any retail store. But what about the other social media platforms like Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest? You may not believe that a basic shop that perhaps maybe let's say it's a pet shop that exclusively sells kibble or dog crates could possibly look interesting in a photo sharing site, but that's where social strategy comes from. So what pet stores find is that they love, everybody loves animals, so perhaps if they feature animals using the products that they're available through the store, that would be enticing to the pet parent. So if indeed you're using photographs in those places such as Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest, make sure that they're done well, that there's proper lighting for those pictures. And you can buy stock photos from a lot of resources online too, that maybe there'll be some cartoons or there could be pictures of people using products or just enjoying their pets that you can feature on those sites. I met a fellow at that event in Nashville whose almost his entire business has been developed from leads that he gets from the videos that he has on YouTube. And I think he told me he had about 100 videos. And they're short. They may run 2 or 3 minutes. But he has a very consistent way of presenting his information. And through word of mouth and direct contact, because of the way he presents on YouTube, he's been able to build his business. He suggested that you don't need a special camera. You can use your mobile device to take pictures and post them on YouTube. They don't have to be that fancy. You can do it yourself. So you might want to experiment on using your cell phone, taking pictures and videos, and then posting them on YouTube. So what about getting automated? You've been evangelizing, we've been evangelizing the benefits of automating processes for years. In the case of a zombie apocalypse, it would be advisable to have some systems and skills in place that don't require the internet. But until then, apps are going to be key to saving time and money for everybody. So automated systems such as point of sale, cloud-based loyalty programs, and other digital apps serve to make a retailer's life simpler and provide the kind of data that couldn't easily be gathered manually. Fortunately, these solutions are getting easier and easier to set up. Systems are available for retailers that have been designed for users with computer skills of varying levels, and they provide a ton of support for those who don't feel comfortable installing an app. So keep in mind that Amazon will be out there. They are a competitor. But what can you do to get customers to come in to your store? What's the call to action? What are the reasons that they should do business with you? And make it a wonderful experience. The more fascinating a business is, the more delightful the encounter is when somebody is shopping in your place of business, the more likely they're going to buy and they're going to come back. Price is not going to always be an issue. In fact, if you look at a list of all of the motivating factors as to why people buy, low price is never number one. In fact, you do not want to attract a low price buyer. Somebody who's price driven can't be counted on to come back again. So get them to come in the store for a reason. Offer them, differentiate your business and offer them benefits that will make their lives even better. And by the way, train your sales staff so they know how to talk to the customers to make those sales. And if there is a happy experience that the customer has, there's a very good chance they will indeed come back into your business. So we're going to take a news break here and also take a look at the weather, and I will be back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It is an outrage that some nations would not only trade with such a regime, but would arm, supply, and financially support a country that imperils the world with nuclear conflict.
President Trump, in his address to the United Nations, slamming countries within the world body that are still trading with North Korea.
That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Let's see how they do.
Traffic restrictions being lifted in the Florida Keys as the island chain is in recovery following Hurricane Irma. Vehicles are now allowed to enter the Keys on US 1 and Card Sound Road, the Florida City checkpoint, no more. The move comes as another big storm will just miss the Sunshine State. Forecasters say models say Hurricane Maria will stay to the east of the U.S. mainland. USA Radio News.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. Well, it's Tuesday afternoon, and we're looking at the possibility of rain by about 20%. It is cloudy with a high near 78 degrees. Tonight there may be scattered showers, and tomorrow partly sunny with a high near 82. Now Wednesday night, patchy fog after 2 a.m., And again, it's going to be a little cooler. It'll be low around 62 degrees. On Thursday, it sounds like a nice day. Sunny with a high near 86. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of near 60. Friday, again, mostly sunny with a high near 79. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of about 58. And Saturday sounds like a nice day. Sunny with a high near 83. So that's your extended forecast through Saturday afternoon, and maybe we won't need our umbrellas as much right now. So we'll see how that goes. Now, when it comes to marketing, I did a program, a couple months ago, on influencers and the importance of influencers. An influencer is somebody. It could be a paid person who goes around and gives information about your product and service. It could be your friends. It could be people who are called evangelists who believe in what you do and they like to tell people. But you'll notice that today that there are a lot of people who are racking up millions of followers and likes for the posts that they're doing. The rise of social media influencers is very interesting. These are people who can earn as much as six figures plugging places or products to other millennials. And this makes sense. Nielsen data shows that only 33% of consumers trust banner ads, but 92% of your target audience trust peers. 92%. So people do not trust advertising, but they will trust people who that they can relate to, who understand where they're coming from. So you cannot pay an influencer enough to promote something they don't want to. That's according to the founder of New York's Socialite, a creative agency that casts and manages influencers. Their following is everything to them. One misjudged commercial decision and they lose everything. So that's on behalf of the influencer. Influencer marketing is word of mouth on steroids, according to an influencer marketing agency. If you think it's just a fad, then you must also think social media is not here to stay. But the key is matching brands to the right influencer. For instance, there was a person who hired 20 truckers to create videos about TomTom GPS. So this was actually real-world videos that were created, and those people became influencers for that GPS program or system. The best results occur when an influencer is given a product and told to do whatever they want to do with it. So, for example, what's interesting is there's a company called Long's Market Domination Media. They're going to be opening up the Influencer House, a Florida property that will house bloggers and models and actors. And this company provides these folks with an over-the-top luxury setting to create content. And this will help their clients to get branded recognition in the marketplace. So some influencers have even made the leap from their digital presence to real life. So there are people actually have contracts with influencers. So it's not easy, but those people can make money and they can help their clients earn some very good income. There are websites that you can go to, and hopefully next time when I come back I'll have them for you, but there are websites that you can go to where you can find people who would be influencers, or you could say bloggers, people that will blog to an audience on information that would be pertinent to in their category. So find people that will talk, who will talk you up. One suggestion I have for you is to develop a team of what you might call unofficial board of directors or a advisory board, and these people can be they can be made up of people who might be your attorney, it could be your insurance broker, it could be your banker, it could be a neighbor that you trust, it could be a colleague or a classmate or an instructor that you've had. But can you reach out to people like that and ask them if they wouldn't mind allowing you to communicate with them periodically on matters that you that are of concern to you, or perhaps you want to bounce ideas off of them, or perhaps you might want to pick their brain and brainstorm for ideas for your own business. Those people can become influencers because they get to know you very well, and it's important to have people like that on your team. So build those folks into your game plan so that you have people giving you word of mouth. And that word of mouth helps to attract customers, but it's also supported by the marketing that you do. You have to have an integrated marketing program. There's no one, like I've had people say to me, what's the one best thing you should do for your business to get customers? And there is no one best thing. You have to have a multiple exposures surrounding the target audience so that they see and hear you and they learn about your business, so that when you do get out there and you make presentations or you make a sale, they say, aha, I know who this is. So look for people who will help to influence the marketplace in your favor, and that certainly can help to solidify your business opportunities. Now, I have another topic that I think is important, too. It's called fusion marketing. And I think fusion marketing comes out of guerrilla marketing that was developed in concept by J. Conrad Levitson back in the 1980s. He is considered to be the father of guerrilla marketing. He died about 3 years ago. But if you go on Amazon, here we go with Amazon again, but if you go on Amazon and look at books written either and endorsed or co-authored by J. Conrad Levitson, you will see dozens and dozens of books on different aspects of guerrilla marketing. One of the concepts in guerrilla marketing is called fusion marketing. So it's a matter of when fusion marketing is done well, it's a matter of connecting with other local businesses that can be mutually beneficial. You both gain the chance to promote your specialties to a wider audience, which can lead to future clients and a boost your bottom line. So to ensure success, you have to invest time. Well, you have to invest time in everything you do, but certainly in developing relationships with other businesses, it's very important that you you single out people that you trust and that you want to be connected with. So if you build a relationship with other businesses, that can help your business to grow. To do this, you're really focusing on the compatibility. So when you're searching for potential partners or fusion partners, think complementary. If you run a fitness center, for example, establishing a relationship with a local sporting goods store might be a very good fit. Businesses that share a similar theme can band together and create a neighborhood event that attracts their target market. So for example, take a local toy store, a children's clothing store, and a family-friendly restaurant that are all focused on families and children. That group of three companies can work together to promote special events. They could advertise together and draw attention because, for example, the toy store may have clients that would be interested in going to the restaurant, or the restaurant may attract customers with children who might benefit from shopping in the children's clothing store. So forming those partnerships are very important. If you've ever attended a BNI networking event, Business Network International, they talk about power teams. It's the same difference. Building relationships with other businesses that cater to the same clientele gives you an opportunity to get exposure. So once you have that those other companies in mind, you need to set up a meeting to discuss what you'd like to see happen as a result of that partnership. And perhaps the goals would be to build brand awareness. Perhaps you want to send out promotions together. It would be very cost-effective to do that. Perhaps running sales at certain times of the year, maybe during certain holiday seasons or special events throughout the calendar year. And you might want to just come up with a program just among those two or three or four companies that are working together. So you don't have to start out real big. You can start out small. Perhaps you know people through social media that have businesses that cater to your clients. An example might be a landscaping business and a garden center. They might post current discounts and upcoming deals for each other on the Facebook pages and to their Twitter followers. If you happen to have a restaurant with a delivery service, you could partner with a florist. You might include a coupon for the floral shop with each delivery for the next month. Meanwhile, the floral company could place a promotion such as a free appetizer with each of its floral arrangements. So it's a matter of testing out the best way to use those relationships, but set goals first. And I do believe that this helps to give, it's a very cost-effective way to get exposure in the marketplace, and that will endeavor you to have a better, more solid business in the marketplace. So there's your tip on fusion marketing today. We've talked about attracting customers. We've talked about how to treat them, the importance of training our employees. So when I come back, we're going to talk about the IRS and the test that you have to review in order to determine when you hire somebody whether or not they would be an independent contractor and treated as such, or an employee. So there are certain factors that you have to evaluate because you have to get it right. You can't pay somebody as an independent contractor when in fact they're truly an employee based on the test that I'm going to be reviewing with you. But before we do that, we're going to listen to a few messages from some of our sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon on the Hunterdon Chamber radio station. This is the voice of business for Hunterdon County. Now, when we hire employees, there's an additional cost to doing so. I believe it's somewhere between 14 and 17% more that employee costs you over and above what you pay them, because that money goes into taxes. So it may seem more attractive to put somebody on as an independent contractor, because then they have to pay their own taxes. But you have to be careful. The government doesn't like you to pay somebody as an independent contractor when in fact they fall under the category of an employee. So I'm going to share with you a list of, it's actually a test list that you can review in your mind, and you can find this online. It's called IRS 20-factor test for independent contractors or employee. And if you go through this process, this thought process, you may discover that you're running your business correctly and that you have people on the payroll, or you may discover that there are people who can be independent contractors. So either way, you really need to go back and consider this list. So the first step is the level of instruction. If the company directs when, where, and how the work is going to be done, this control indicates a possible employment relationship. How about the amount of training? Requesting workers to undergo company-provided training suggests an employment relationship, since the company is directing the methods by which the work is accomplished. How about the degree of business integration? Workers whose services are integrated into business operation or significantly affect business success are likely to be considered employees. Number four, the extent of personal services. Companies that insist on a particular person performing the work, where they assert a degree of control that suggests an employment relationship, in contrast, independent contractors typically are free to assign work to anyone. So what's the relationship in performing the work? And who does the work, and to what degree control placed on the relationship? How about control of assistance? If a company hires supervises and pays a worker's assistance, this control indicates a possible employment relationship. If the worker retains control over hiring, supervising, and paying helpers, this arrangement suggests an independent contractor relationship. So if you hire somebody who hires their own people to do the work, that would be more of an independent contractor relationship. Now, when it comes to continuity of relationships, a continuous relationship between a company and a worker indicates a possible employment relationship. However, an independent contractor arrangement can involve an ongoing relationship for multiple sequential projects. Then there's flexibility of schedule. People whose hours or days of work are dictated by the company are apt to qualify as its employees. Now, just as a point of reference, I've been an independent contractor for 41 years, and I set my own hours. If I'm asked to do, to be at a trade show or to conduct a business event on behalf of a principal that I'm working with, I have the choice of doing it or not doing it. They cannot demand that I do it. They also can't demand that I give them copies of my customer lists, nor can they demand that I do call reports, because I'm an independent contractor. Now, here's another one, demands for full-time work. Full-time work gives a company control over most of a person's time, which supports a finding of an employment relationship. Then there may be the need for on-site services. Requiring someone to work on company premises, particularly if the work can be performed elsewhere, indicates a possible employment relationship. Number 10 is sequence of work. If a company requires work to be performed in specific order or sequence, this control suggests an employment relationship. Now, in my own case, as an independent contractor, I've been in sales, earning money on straight commission. My companies cannot tell me how many hours to spend on the job or who to make sales calls on. They can ask me if I would do it, but they can't make demands of me of those things. Here we go. Requirements. This is number 11. Requirements for reports. If a worker regularly must provide written or oral reports on the status of a project, this arrangement indicates a possible employment relationship. Number 12 is method of payment. Hourly, weekly, or monthly pay schedules are characteristic of employment relationships, unless the payments simply are a convenient way of distributing a lump sum fee. Payment on commission or project completion is more characteristic of independent contractor relationships. So that's exactly the way that I'm compensated for the work that I do. Number 13 is payment of business or travel expenses. Independent contractors typically bear the cost of travel or business expenses, and most contractors set their fees high enough to cover those costs. Direct reimbursement of travel and other business costs by a company suggests an employment relationship. I've had somebody maybe pay for a hotel night on a business trip or a special event, but typically I pay my own airline fees, travel, hotel. I do my own thing, so I have to make sure that I'm charging enough money when I make a sale to be able to support all of these expenses. Now, there's also a provision of tools and materials. Workers who perform most of their work using company-provided equipment, tools, and materials are more likely to be considered employees. On the other hand, work done largely using independently obtained supplies or tools supports the independent contractor. There's also the investment in facilities. Independent contractors typically invest in and maintain their own work facilities. In contrast, most employees rely on their employer to provide work facilities. I have, just again as a point of reference, I have my own office at my home. And by the way, if you are self-employed and you have you conduct business in your home in an office space, make sure that space looks like an office. If it's a corner of the bedroom or it's the dining room table where you're conducting business, you really can't write that off as an expense for the business. So that's how I work. I have office space. I have two rooms, actually, that were originally an office space when we bought the house. Number 16 is a realization of profit or loss. Workers who receive predetermined earnings and have little chance to realize significant profit or loss through their work generally are employees. Another one is the work for multiple companies. People who simultaneously provide services for several unrelated companies are likely to qualify as independent contractors. So in the pet business, where I've been a manufacturer's rep, we've represented about 100 companies over the years, and there were times that, the companies come and go, but over the years I've had as little as two or three companies that we were representing on straight commission earnings, or maybe as many as 8 or 10, maybe 12 companies. So again, multiple companies situation really qualifies me as an independent contractor. Then number 18 is the availability to the public. If a worker regularly makes services available to the general public, this supports an independent contractor determination. Number 19 is control over discharge. A company's unilateral right to discharge a worker suggests an employment relationship. In contrast, a company's ability to terminate independent contractor relationships generally depends on contract terms, and that is true. And then finally, number 20 is the right of termination. Most employees unilaterally can terminate their work for a company without liability. Independent contractors cannot terminate services without liability, except as allowed under their contracts. So the circumstances are totally different between having an employee or an independent contractor working for you. If you're concerned about how this is going to be handled, you might want to reach out to the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College, or where there's an attorney that you can meet at no charge, or you may have an attorney, a business attorney who you can talk to about this. But you have to be careful in business today because people are lawsuit happy, and you don't want to get yourself in a bind. Don't be paying people as independent contractors when they are not. And that's a big area of confusion for a lot of business owners. So we've talked about a number of things today that I trust will be a value to you and your business. I want to thank you for listening to Teachable Moments in Business. And over the next couple months, I will be having some guests coming to share information with us about their businesses and the ideas that they may have that would be of value to you. So whenever you listen to Teachable Moments in Business, it's really a good idea to have a pencil and pad handy, because chances are we're going to be talking about something that will be important to you. Some of the things we do get into would be trade show and event marketing, and the Chamber does have their event coming up in November, and I'll be teaching several classes on trade show expo showmanship, and I will talk about that here on this program. Perhaps we'll talk about pull-through marketing, we'll talk about goal setting and calls to action, putting together a business plan and marketing plan, customer retention programs. I did do a program on website content. I also teach people elevator speeches, which are essentially what do you say to somebody when they ask you what you do. So you need to have a statement that's appropriate for the person to whom you're speaking. What else? We talk about selling skills. And I mentioned marketing. Tonight I'm starting the first of a two-night program on marketing at Raritan Valley Community College, SBDC, and that'll be held at the Workforce Development Building on the RVCC campus. It's a brand new building, and it's wonderful. And they offer many vocational programs for college students there. We can talk about target markets. There's just so much that we can talk about in business. There's not a topic that you can't gain a benefit from hearing about. And I hope that you'll come back and listen to the program. There's also the archives on the station, on the 100 Chamber Radio station, and you can see a website. So you can see the archives, you can see the descriptions of the programs. And please listen. You can listen on your computer in your office or on your mobile device. You can listen to these programs. And I guarantee you, you'll have a lot of information that you'll be glad to have heard. And if you have any questions about what we've talked about, if you would like to be interviewed on this program, or if you have questions that you want us to cover, you can send an email to teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, Teachable Moments in Business. Perhaps you can go there to look at information about the program. I appreciate your listening, and I hope you'll come back next Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock here. We're in Flemington at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce on their radio studio on Main Street here in Flemington. So have a great afternoon, and I'll see you next time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It is an outrage that some nations would not only trade with such a regime, but would arm, supply, and financially support a country that imperils the world with nuclear conflict.
President Trump, in his address to the United Nations, slamming countries within the world body that are still trading with North Korea.
That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Let's see how they do.
Traffic restrictions being lifted in the Florida Keys as the island chain is in recovery following Hurricane Irma. Vehicles are now allowed to enter the Keys on U.S. 1 and Cardstown Road, the Florida City checkpoint, no more. The move comes as another big storm will just miss the Sunshine State. Forecasters say models say Hurricane Maria will stay to the east of the U.S. mainland. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-9999.